Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, it's the RMA Group Auction, featuring woodworking equipment, wielding equipment, hand tools, wood inventory, Genie lift, rough terrain forklift, and more. Auction is open right now at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Mel Kiper Jr. has come out with his mock draft, and I think by this time, I think there is enough information where you can start accurately putting together where some teams might sit with a certain player or players. Certainly doesn't mean you're going to get it right. With that, Mel Kiper Jr., he did not do any type of trades. I fully expect the Minnesota Vikings to move up in the draft, but he has the Vikings at number 11 taking J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
I don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to be there at 11. I would expect the Minnesota Vikings to move up. With that, I don't think any team is going to take Bo Nix at number 12.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's going to try and jump the Broncos for Bo Nix. The only team that might do it would probably be the Raiders if they really want him. This is what Mel Kiper Jr. wrote about the potential pick of Bo Nix. And this is very Sean Payton-ish in terms of the type of quarterback that he wants. Nix isn't going to be for every team, but Payton might see a little Drew Brees in him. He has a super fast processor who can make every throw and was one of the most productive passers in college football the past two seasons. With that, I know the running narrative is the Broncos will trade back to get Bo Nix. Honestly, if you really want Bo Nix, if you really want him, do you really roll the dice and trade back?
No, you just get him.
You just go get him.
Absolutely.
And I know that the Broncos would be killed for drafting him too high. It doesn't matter.
I don't think Sean Payton cares about that. I think he just wants the guy.
If this is another position on the field, whatever. You lose out on him. Hopefully there's somebody there that you like at that particular position. You don't roll the dice on a quarterback if it's a guy that you really want. Because once you lose out on him, now the pickings become real slim. And some would argue that Bo Nix is a second-round talent anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that becomes immaterial if you have belief. If he's your guy, and we're talking about, this isn't an organizational decision. This is a Sean Payton decision.
Right.
Now, he may be looking, he may be talking to others to get counsel and run things by people, but this is a Sean Payton decision. If you have conviction about this particular player and you have just as strong a conviction that you can get him at 12, because who are you fighting at this point? For Bo Nix.
Maybe the Raiders.
Maybe.
Right.
Right?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well,
right.
The Vikings need a quarterback.
You're right.
The Raiders need
a
quarterback. And the Broncos need a quarterback.
Exactly. So now it becomes a question of where do you feel you have to be to get him? But if you've got conviction, go get him. I love that. Wouldn't you love that? How much would that be good for us with Bo Nix is your guy? You went and picked him. Now let's see, how does the relationship, just think about it. We will be in on the ground level of that relationship. Sean Payton, for the first time in his career, picking a first round future quarterback of the franchise.
If Bo Nix doesn't work out, does he get a choice at another quarterback?
Probably not, because
it's going to be 2 years.
Yeah,
for
you're
this.
Talking about another 2 years before you start to get that answer. And then I think If you don't know something by year four in this experiment.
And he has a 5-year deal.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Because this past year was a wash in the sense that, yeah, they won more games. They didn't make the playoffs. They finished under 500. We don't expect them to be very good next year. So that's 2 years, in theory, of his 5 years wasted.
This is about two.
Unless Bo Nix wins the starting job.
This is about being relevant in 2025. I will leave it.
With a ton of cap space.
Right. This is about being relevant in 2025. 2024, it's going to be pain. There's going to be pain, and that's okay. Especially if they draft a quarterback at 12 or get their guy. If Sean gets his guy, I think it will be fascinating to watch that relationship develop with that quarterback.
I'll tell you one thing. If Sean Payton really wants Bo Nix and the Raiders jump ahead of the Broncos to take him, the Raiders could literally and figuratively put their foot on the throat of the Broncos and Sean Payton for the next 2-3 years.
Could very well be.
Now, if they aren't a very good team, then they will draft even higher. And I get that. But it will kill their season. This season, it would destroy their season. Because, again, you don't expect a rookie quarterback to walk in like a C.J. Stroud.
No.
Like a Dan Marino. By the way, not a Patrick Mahomes, who really didn't play until his second season.
Yeah.
It takes guys to develop.
Yep. Takes time, usually. And especially when you're going from a spread type of offense to a pro style of offense. I don't care how smart a guy you are. And Bo Nix, by every indication, is a really smart guy. I give him that before we even jump into things. But it takes time. The speed of the game, the technical side of the game, the things that you're asked to do, it's different than in college. So it'll be an interesting... I'll be very interested. Well, it goes without saying. This is a huge... momentous time for Sean Payton and the Broncos.
I mean,
this draft.
Think about this for a second. What if you trade back, hoping to get Nix, and then the Raiders don't have to do anything and they take Nix?
It depends. It's the.
I mean, how good do the Raiders honestly feel with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell?
Well, I hear you.
I mean, even Antonio Pierce came out and said, "We need to get a quarterback," and I don't think he was talking about Gardner Minshew.
No. I think that the Raiders will draft a quarterback. So, got to figure out where they're going to draft a quarterback. And you never know. I mean, the Raiders' sensibilities may be totally different than Sean Payton's.
You may or may not know this. I'm guessing most of you do. Teams do their own mock drafts.
Yes.
They better be spot on with their mock draft if they want to roll the dice trading back to get Bo Nix. Because even if they're a wee bit off and they don't get the guy that they want, this kills hope.
Yeah.
Bo Nix, if he's the guy, signals hope. You have none if you don't draft a quarterback that you really believe can be the guy. And I'm not talking about taking Spencer Rattler or somebody in the third or fourth.
No, round. I hear you.
That doesn't inspire hope.
You're buying time.
You are buying time, but you're also like pumping oxygen into a room.
Totally.
You're pumping hope into a fan base.
No question.
That this guy could be the guy.
A long-suffering fan base.
Coming up after the break, the Avalanche have a chance to jump into the top spot in the Western Conference. All the while, Nathan MacKinnon is having his best season. He is on pace to potentially have the best season in Avalanche Nordiques history. Is he starting to climb up the charts in the franchise where he has the opportunity to go down as the best player in franchise history? That's next. So why don't you kill me? Don't feel so good. Oh,
But to check outside the games. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. I'm racing.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, it's the RMA Group Auction featuring woodworking equipment, wielding equipment, welding equipment, not wielding, welding equipment, hand tools, wood inventory, and more. Auction is open right now at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, guys, are you losing your hair? Am I speaking to you? There's a revolutionary way, pain-free and affordable way, to get your hair back. And that is stem cell therapy. Long gone is the idea that you need to have a hair transplant where they cut into the back of your head. It is incredibly uncomfortable, and it's a process that isn't pleasant. How do I know? I've done it. Stem cell therapy is the way to go. Beyond stem cells, they have an expert team that specializes in doing what the hair transplant centers cannot do. They're not going to cut in the back of your head. What they do is they have a revolutionary stem cell solution that is less invasive, it is safer, no side effects, and guess what? And here's one of the best parts, if there aren't already a lot of great parts. It costs 50% less than hair transplant surgery. It checks all the boxes. You can look better, feel better today with Beyond Stem Cells. Change your life and go to beyondstemcellsdenver.com or give them a call, 1-833-720-STEM. 1-833-720-STEM. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by High Country Performance 4x4 in Englewood, Colorado's premier one-stop shop for anything and everything 4x4s and trucks. High Country Performance 4x4, building cool shit since 1980. Go to hcp4x4.com.
The Avalanche haven't played consistently great all season. Yet again, they haven't been healthy the entire season, but they have certainly been good enough to challenge, be in the conversation for the top spot, certainly in the division, and at times in the Western Conference. Well, guess what? Here they are tonight. They take on St. Louis, combined with a Vancouver regulation loss against Buffalo, a Winnipeg loss against the Rangers, and guess what? The Avalanche are looking down on everyone else. We had a feeling this could happen if they were healthy. They made some great moves at the trade deadline. Here they are, steamrolling towards the finish of the season.
And obviously you feel better about them now than you have at any really time this season, even though they started extremely well, because you've got the healthiest that they've ever been. You've got all of the components back, minus Gabe Landeskog, which now is a two-year proposition, so really not relevant. And you've got four pieces to the puzzle that if we were wondering how they were going to fit, we've got an answer to it within a week.
Right.
Are we all of a sudden are seeing two guys at the top end of the lineup that are creating dividends. We're seeing the two guys on the backsides of the lineups and their lines that are creating dividends, and they're playing better defense. This the road trip that they took. Now, if they can finish this thing tonight, is I think the four most important games that they will have played consecutively all season long.
Guy leading the way, Nathan MacKinnon, yep, leads the NHL with 116 points, 15 games left. He's 23 points off the franchise record for points and is on pace to score 142. Those are like 1980s numbers.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Then again, Connor McDavid does that pretty much every year. Odds on favorite probably to win the Hart Trophy for the first time. Do you think another cup not only puts him in the conversation as one of the greatest players in franchise history, but do you think there is a chance he has a chance to be recognized as the best player in franchise history?
I wish I've got to do a better job on my whole, I mean, I know the guys that have played here and obviously what they have meant and the fact that they have cups, plural,
yep,
at different stages of the franchise helps a little bit, but he's got to be in that conversation, doesn't he? I mean, if those things come to pass, you're talking about, and the fact that he has accelerated in his prime at the age of 28 in the last 2 years. I mean, he was, when I came here 8 years ago, boom, I knew who Nathan MacKinnon was. I paid attention to him. He was fantastic. But he is now on a different level. Is it fair to say that Nathan MacKinnon is one of those guys in the NHL? I think he probably is. Not Connor McDavid? No, I get it. From a scoring standpoint, he's a different kind of creature. But MacKinnon is right there. I think he is one of the great stars in the NHL.
This is how I look at it. If he wins another cup,
mm-hmm,
then he has it. Then he's, first of all, he's in the conversation already.
Okay, good.
As one of the best players in franchise history.
Right.
Okay. Do I think he will pass Joe Sakic for total points? No, I don't. If he plays seven more seasons, which puts him at the age of 35.
Mm-hmm.
We're just making the assumption he plays till 35. Remember, he came in the league at the age of 18.
Right.
Right? He still will not pass Joe Sakic for total points, playing roughly the same amount of games, maybe about 20 less. Joe Sakic was a different type of player. Nathan MacKinnon might be the most talented player on offense to ever lace up skates for the Avalanche organization. Most talented. Does that mean he is the best? Maybe, maybe not. I think it becomes completely subjective at that point. Here's another thing that is important. Joe Sakic was a captain.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathan MacKinnon is not. Not that that should play into it. You can make the case the most talented player on those Avs teams that won cups was Peter Forsberg.
Yeah.
But he was injured all the time.
Right.
He was injured all the time, which certainly hurts his candidacy to be mentioned as the best player in franchise history. Most people would easily side with Joe Sakic. But the way MacKinnon plays and the way he creates is not a way that Joe Sakic did.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Sakic, his greatest attribute was his clutch gene. I've told this story, not that it's an original story. This is how it was told to me. Game is tied at 3 in overtime. And Joe would calmly skate right in front of the bench and look at every single guy and say, I got this. 9 out of 10 times he did.
Yeah.
And he would score the game-winning goal.
Mm.
He was the captain of two cup-winning teams. Nathan MacKinnon is just, I mean, let's put it this way. Okay. Is Ron Smith the most talented wide receiver in Broncos history?
No.
Is he the best?
Yes.
Yes. And I think that's how you separate the two.
Good way of putting it. I see Nathan McKinnon as a force of nature.
He is.
He skates angry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because he is.
Yeah.
Angry.
He just has that kind of aura about him. And I will ask you this. We have seen him accelerate his scoring in the last 2 years. I think he's averaging 1.7 points a game this year.
He, by the way, in his first 9 seasons, he never had 100 points.
No, never. And he's had two breakout years.
Yep.
But they're consecutive. And this year is unlike anything else. He's at a totally different kind of level where I think he's 1.74 points per game or something like that. Whatever the number is.
And by the way, he's logging the most ice time he's ever had.
Yeah.
In last year's playoffs, I think he logged about 43 minutes.
Look, where does his game go from here? He's 28 years old. You tell me as a guy that can see a player coming to his maturity. Look, he was born great.
Yeah.
But he is now at a different level, and you can argue that this is the sweet spot of his career, right?
Yeah.
At the age of 28. Okay, so where does he go from here? Because even if he just continues to fire pars for where he is right now.
Right.
I mean, are you kidding me? If you're talking about 130, 140 points a year on a team like this, where you're going to have another, you got Miko Rantanen as a 90-point scorer. You got Kalen McCarr.
I'll put it to you like this. He has the chance, if he has 7 more 100-plus seasons, to finish second tier. But he will never, and nor should he be, mentioned with Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, Wayne Gretzky,
gotcha,
or Mario Lemieux.
And I will, and that sounds reasonable to me.
It's not a knock on McKinnon. It is a tribute to the greatness of others. For as much as we are eyeing what McKinnon is doing right now, McDavid had 153 points last year.
Mm-hmm.
He had 64 goals and 89 assists.
Yep.
Almost every season he has had in the NHL, he has had over 100 points.
He's unreal.
For Nathan McKinnon, outside of the last 2 seasons, he never had a 100-point season.
Yep.
Now, it certainly helps for Connor McDavid that he has Leon Draisaitl standing next to him. Or at least he has for a good part of his career.
Although Leon Draisaitl didn't make much of a move to defend Ari Lehkonen on that last goal.
Defense has never been a strong suit for the Oilers organization.
What?
I don't want to say historically.
The Oilers organization.
Organization.
Please, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think he has a chance to crack that.
No.
I think he has a chance to be close to Joe Sakic. Joe Sakic, I think, is top 10 or top 15 in points all time.
So is Sakic still ahead? Well, he is because of how much more does he have to reel in McKinnon to get his face on Mount Rushmore in Denver over Joe Sakic?
He's got to win another cup.
Got to win another cup without question.
I don't know if we'll catch him in points.
So may not be able to do it.
He may not. Joe Sakic is ninth all time.
Ninth all time.
In points.
Damn.
So, but he has to play 7 more seasons, not miss one game.
Right.
Okay. And then have 100-point seasons.
Yeah.
Can he do for the next 2-3 years? I'm sure he could.
Yeah.
Can he do it in years 6 and 7? Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
With the way he stays in shape, you would believe that at the age of 34, he's still going to be highly productive. Right now, Joe Sakic is on top only because he's won 2 cups.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But if we're being fair, at least I'm trying to be, and I'll put it to you this way. Who's the Mount Rushmore right now? We're going to take Jokic out of it. We know he's there. I think it should be Arenado. You can debate however you want to, whether it's Helton Walker or Arenado. I really don't care because that's not part of this conversation. I'll use the Broncos, and I'll use the Avalanche as our example. Who's the best quarterback to ever put on a Broncos uniform? It is Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Okay. But John Elway should be on that Mount
John
Rushmore.
John Elway is on there, period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe Sakic is on the Mount Rushmore.
I think no question.
But he's not the best player to ever put on a Avalanche uniform. It is Patrick Waugh.
Yeah.
It is Patrick Waugh.
Sure.
But he wasn't here long enough.
Right.
Joe Sakic, one career, one team. John Elway, one career, one team. Ah. And major accomplishments and two championships.
And you know Jokic is there already, so that's three.
I don't know if anybody will ever top him.
I don't.
I think he is the only one of the four that is bronzed.
Hmm.
Where he will never, ever be removed. Unless you're telling me the Nuggets will draft somebody who's going to win two MVPs. And already has a title and has a chance to win at least one or two more.
Sure does.
Coming up after the break, the Nuggets play tonight. Nikola Jokic, not necessarily going head-to-head against Anthony Edwards.
Mm-mm.
But with what Anthony Edwards did last night, we know he's a great player. He put somebody on a poster, but that's going to be the matchup. Jokic, Edwards, minus Karl Anthony Towns, possibly Gobert. Do the Nuggets really have any excuses losing this game tonight, knowing two of the best players for the Timberwolves are not playing, and the Timberwolves are playing their third game in four nights? That's next.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, smileysports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, it's the RMA Group Auction featuring woodworking equipment, welding equipment, hand tools, wood inventory, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silterhar Mazda. Get to Silterhar in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silterhar Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
Nuggets play Minnesota tonight. Two teams tied for second place in the Western Conference, half game behind Oklahoma City. Timberwolves playing their third game in four nights, back end of a back-to-back. They beat Utah last night. This game's certainly important for both teams. I would say it's more important for the Nuggets because Karl-Anthony Towns is not playing and Rudy Gobert might not play. This is a game they have to win because of a potential tiebreak and staying close to Oklahoma City, in which, with Oklahoma City not playing tonight, the Nuggets and the Thunder will be tied for the top spot.
Yeah, mathematically, it's not a must win, but psychologically, I think it's very important. You've got Minnesota on the back end of a back-to-back. You've got them playing their third game in four nights shorthanded. You've got them with one scoring-centric player. Now, a damn good one, don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But he is going to be a volume shooter tonight. He averages about 21 shots a game. Expect him to be somewhere up around 28 to 30 shots probably tonight because they just don't have a scorer other than that. When you take Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, and Gobert isn't a first option, or he's more of an option down the line, offensively, this one is set up for the Nuggets, and especially on a bounce back. They did not play well in the game in Dallas. I would imagine that this game tonight in Minnesota will have the Nuggets' attention for a lot of reasons. Bouncing back from a loss where they didn't play well, playing a team that is clearly going to be there in the high level of the playoffs, right?
Yep.
You want to have at least an advantage over them in terms of being able to beat them out. You've got three chances to beat them now. You're already down 0-1 in the four-game series. So, yeah, this one sets up, I think, pretty well for the Nuggets tonight, who, let me just say, even with Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, I think the Nuggets are a better team, but not so much better that they can just roll out the ball and play. Minnesota's a good team.
This is one of those games in which you brought in KCP.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah, you better guard.
Well, he's a terrific guard.
Yeah.
Defensive guard. This is the type of game where you need KCP to blanket him. And honestly, and I could be wrong, I'm sure, I don't know if I'd be betting on this game. This is the game where I would not bet on KCP to score any points or take any shots. Just stick on this guy.
Well, you can turn him over. He averages over 3 turnovers a game. And he's going to have the ball in his hands all night long. Turn this guy over. You know, get that number to 5 or 6. Create real issues there, and you're winning this game.
He's going to be shooting more because, again, Karl Anthony Towns isn't playing. Yeah, we don't know about Gobert. They played one time this season. It was on November 1st. And Ant-Man, 8 of 16 from the floor, and scored 24 points.
Yeah, but he only took 16 shots.
Right. He will take more in this
game.
He
will take,
just throw bodies at this guy.
As in waves.
Right.
In waves.
This is one of those Jordan rules games, I think. Let the other four guys beat you.
Because who's going to do it?
Right. Right.
I mean, there really doesn't need to be any more analysis than that. That's where we are here. And even if Rudy Gobert plays, Rudy Gobert is not a scorer.
This is similar to with putting all your emphasis on Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
This is the equivalent of, with the other four guys, why other teams leave Aaron Gordon wide open for threes.
Right.
If he hits them, great. I can live losing that way.
Now, guys like Mike Conley become X factors. A guy that shoots a fairly high percentage of threes but doesn't shoot a lot of shots anymore.
Let Mike Conley beat you.
Absolutely.
If he goes off for 30, good on him.
You know, right.
Good on him. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
The reigning National League Cy Young winner will be staying in the National League West. And why did John Wall say today's NBA is hard to watch? That's all next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us at MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today is the RMA Group Auction featuring woodworking equipment, welding equipment, hand tools, wood inventory, genie lift, a rough terrain forklift, and more. Auction is open right now at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just In Case You Missed It is presented by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. You need to see why Westward named it the best liquor store in Denver 5 years running, or order online at argonautliquor.com.
Just in case you missed it, reigning National League Cy Young winner Blake Snell and the San Francisco Giants are in an agreement on a 2-year, $62 million contract. Does include an opt-out after the first season, but Snell's deal with the Giants ends a free agency that stretched to 9 days before opening day. He entered the winter hoping for a long-term deal, but the market at the price he sought never really materialized, and he winds up here in San Francisco. Thoughts on the two-time Cy Young winner staying in division in the National League West?
Yeah, well, I mean, the division is what it is. It's damn good. Dodgers are outstanding. Giants will be very competitive. Arizona was in the postseason a year ago, and the Padres can't suck for that much longer, right? At some point, they're going to have the fruit of their roster. Oh, and then the Rockies. So, I'd kill to have a Blake Snell. I would kill to have a Blake Snell.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
All right, just in case you missed it, five-time NBA All-Star John Wall, who is not on a current roster, said today's NBA is hard to watch because nobody is playing defense. Here's what Wall said.
The NBA, like you said, the game just changed so much, it's hard to watch. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to watch because nobody's playing defense. There's a lot of shots, and it's just like, for me, it's like going to play pickup. Like, it's like we go play pickup in the summer, like, you get a bucket, get a bucket. Go one-on-one, go one-on-one. So that's just all it really is.
Do you agree with Wall? Like, there should be more of an emphasis on playing defense in the NBA.
I mean, I hate to tell John Wall, it's always been that way. When has anyone ever said, oh, you want to watch some good defense tonight? Let's tune into the NBA.
Kind of find it rich that John Wall was an average defensive player.
Right.
There were a couple seasons he was pretty good, had a lot of steals, but just because you have a lot of steals doesn't mean you're a great defensive player. He was a good defensive player. At times, he was very good, but for the most part, he was average. So, don't throw out there that they should play more defense when you were not particularly great yourself.
And besides, the NBA flows pretty much the same way every year. The better defensive teams still win a lot of games, but they all defend when it comes to the postseason.
Correct.
That's it. That's all you need to know. It's going to be very intense defensively once the playoffs start.
All right, just in case you missed it, first-year Alabama coach Kalen DeBoer will make an average of $10.875 million per year. That'll rank him in the top five nationally among the highest-paid coaches in college football. Also, more than doubles his pay at Washington. So only Dabo Sweeney, Kirby Smart, and Lincoln Riley have a higher average salary than DeBoer. Any comments at all on Alabama giving Kalen DeBoer nearly $11 million per year?
I think it's absolutely great that he's making $11 million a year. I hate being the guy that's following Nick Saban,
I think it's outstanding. I don't want to hear a word out of his mouth about the NIL collective. You got enough money? I don't know, chip in 20% of your salary every single year for the collective. Why don't you do that? See, all these coaches complain about the NIL and the NIL collective. The NIL is totally different. That is name, image, and likeness. That means doing commercials. If there was no collective, NIL would not be that big of a deal. Because how many offensive guards are going to be getting endorsement deals with McDonald's? Very, very few. The collective is a bunch of wealthy guys getting together and pooling money so they can hand it out to players. That's the problem with the NIL, but more accurately, the NIL collective. So for all these coaches saying it's killing college football, it's killing college basketball, chip in your own money, man. Is there a rule against that? I don't know if there is. Is there?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Doubt it. Chip in your own money. You want to win national titles? All you have to do is chip in just 20% of your salary. That's not a lot. I think you can live on $8 to $9 million a year. And we're probably not even including all of your NIL stuff, which includes endorsement deals. Like, if Alabama wears Nike, you get a cut of it. Right?
Has Kalen DeBoer complained?
No.
Oh.
I'm saying any coach that does.
Oh, any coach, yeah, right. Yeah,
any coach
you.
That
yeah,
does.
No, I feel you.
Nick Saban complained, chip in your own money. Why not?
I just wouldn't want to follow Nick Saban at Alabama.
It's a pretty tough follow.
That's a hard follow.
That was Argonaut Wine and Liquor. Just in case you missed it, Argonaut always has great specials. Right now, French wines are 15% off. They have a wine tasting coming up on Saturday that they deliver to the entire Denver metro area for over $200. Every delivery is free. NCAA tournament coming up. You're going to lock yourself in the house potentially for 4 straight days. I'd be willing to bet you could easily kill $200 worth of liquor by yourself.
Wow.
If you're just going to watch the NCAA tournament. Well, you know what? Buy a really nice bottle of whiskey for $150 and you could probably kill it there. Just sip it slowly.
Yeah.
Or else you're going to have to order again.
There's always White Claw if you need it.
That's right. It is the top selling drink. What is it? In Colorado? What
Red Rocks, he said.
In Red Rocks. Rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My friend Josh Robinson would fall over if he found out as a sommelier that White Claw is the top selling drink at
Red Rocks.
Yeah.
That hurts a little bit.
White. why don't you just get me one of them Zimas? Argonaut Wine and Liquor, you can find them off of Colfax. Again, order online at argonautliquor.com or order off their app. That is going to do it for us. Gordon and Alex, great job today. Same with you, Bruce. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make the best possible day you can.